Thank the Lord that I've had the opportunity to come here this morning and stand before you. And I want to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity. I probably won't say anything that you haven't heard before, but I pray maybe I will be able to encourage you and maybe bring to remembrance something that you have forgotten. I'd like to speak this morning about directions. And if we just stop and think about it a minute, we use directions every day. We had to know how to get to the building this morning. We had to know what time to get here. How did we get here? We usually don't think about directions unless something goes wrong. Maybe you're on vacation and you're driving down the highway and your wife says, "We were supposed to turn right there." Well, you're motoring along and I think I'll just keep going this way. It'll come out on the highway. Well, the highway turns into a road, and the road turned into a string of potholes with brush and trees growing so close to the side of the road that your mirrors are almost dragging. And so there you are, 5 miles down dummy line road and no place to turn around. And then again, maybe it's laundry day. And so you gather up the clothes and you put them in the washer. You grab the detergent. Well, it's empty. I know what I'll do. I'll go get some dishwashing liquid. That ought to work. You know, a drop of Dawn and the grease is gone. So you go get the dishwashing detergent and you squirt in a goodly portion, as my sister says. And you think about it, well, my husband and I, we were working in the yard this week. The children have been playing baseball and soccer. Maybe I better add a little more. Well, maybe I better add a little more. And the next thing you know, that a 15-minute wash becomes an hour of mopping up soap suds and water out of the laundry room floor. And the clothes still need to be dried. But there are some directions that we should think about every day. And that's the way that God has directed us in this life. Psalms 5 and 3 says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." And 1 Samuel 13 describes David as a man after God's own heart. We know David sought direction every day. He didn't always know what the day would bring, but he knew that God did know. So David asked for guidance. In Psalms 31:3, David said, "For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, shall lead me and guide me." We should ask for guidance too. David asked for strength. Samuel 22:33, "God is my strength and my power." We should ask for strength. David asked for protection. Psalms 3:3, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." Do we have protection? Surely we do. We read about that full armament that we have, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. What about forgiveness? David prayed for that. "Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins, Psalm 25:18. Let us follow his example. Proverbs 3:6 reads, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Psalms 127:1. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." We need always to keep God uppermost in our minds. In everything we do, we need to be looking to him for guidance, for help. "Come unto me," Jesus said. A lot of people wait till they're in trouble to start looking for help. But we need to look for help every day, because every day can bring trouble, and it often does. In 2 Corinthians verse 1, 3, and 4, the scripture says that our Father is the seat of all comfort. He is the God of all comfort. And he comforts us so that we can comfort those who get in trouble, the same way that he comforts us. When we face temptation, we should look to God. Hebrews 2:18, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Christ faced all the same temptations that we do. And so when we're tempted, we can go to him. We can look at God's word and depend on them to help. What about when we have trials? James 1:3 says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." God has told us that we're going to endure trials. There's no way to escape that. But the thing is, the trials that we go through make us better. And as we face one thing and overcome it, it makes us stronger to face the next thing. We should remember God and acknowledge him even in our prosperity. We read in Revelation 3:17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." And that's what these people were thinking. Well, we're doing really good. Things are looking real good for us. But then what did he say at the end of that verse? "Know ye knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." So a lot of times when we think things are just rosy, God is looking at us and saying, you need to do something. You need to change the way you're living. So acknowledge God. He is over all. "The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness." Proverbs 11:5. And in John 3:10, we read, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Righteousness. We need to commit our lives to righteous living. Study the Word of God and learn his will, and then live it out in our lives. Do the best that we know how to do every day. We need to think righteously. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So as we think of things, think over things, that's what we are. So we need to be thinking of things in a godly way. Let him direct that. We need to do righteously. As we just read in John 3:10, "Whoever doeth not righteousness is not of God." We need to seek righteousness for ourselves. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." But notice it says, not your righteousness, but his righteousness. We must seek the righteousness of God. We've got to try to live up to his standard. And then, seek the righteousness of others. James 5:20 says, "He which converteth a sinner from the error of his way saves a soul from death and covers a multitude of sin." So we need to be committing our lives to righteous living, seeking righteousness for ourselves, and seeking the righteousness of others. Let us make our ways righteous. Ecclesiastes 10:10 reads, "If the iron be blunt, and he doth whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct." And then in Proverbs 27:17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." The point is here that sometimes we will need to ask counsel. We face situations that we can't figure out on our own. Well, who should we ask? Well, first of all, we should ask God. Sometimes it's something between us and God, and nobody else can help. Psalm 33:11 says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." God will listen to us. God will help us. Sometimes maybe it's something that we need to speak to our preacher about. Ephesians 4:11 tells us he gave some evangelists for the perfecting of the saints. Preachers live in a lot of different places sometimes. They encounter a lot of different situations. And some of the problems that we're having, they might have an answer for us. Maybe sometimes we need to ask counsel of an elder. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder." Well, if an elder can exhort another elder, then he should be able to exhort me. He should be able to exhort you. If you have some sort of a problem that you can't solve on your own, maybe you need to speak to one of the elders about it. They can help. Then sometimes maybe it's something that's not too serious, and you know somebody else that's had the same problem. So maybe we need to speak with somebody that has experience. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens." Sometimes talking to someone else can help you see the way to overcome what problem it is that you're facing. So ask counsel. Live smart, not hard. First Thessalonians 3:11, "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you." And Ephesians 6:15, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." What the writer is speaking about here is seeking other people and trying to direct them in the right way. And that's one of our responsibilities as Christians. We must prepare to seek the lost. First of all, we need to prepare our heart. In Ezra 7:10, the scripture says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord." Well, how do you do that? How do you prepare your heart? Well, you've got to decide that you're going to read God's word and you're going to keep it. You're going to follow him. And when you make that decision, then the next thing you need to do is to prepare your mind. You can read the Bible But if you don't study it, you'll never know it. You can read over a passage of Scripture, and next week somebody else can read a verse of that same passage of Scripture, and you won't even remember that it was there. So we need to prepare our minds. We need to study our Bibles and write the Scriptures in our hearts and in our minds. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Jesus came to earth, became a man, became a servant, and he humbled himself. And we need to do the same thing. We need to make our minds concentrate on the things of God and to prepare to help others. We need to prepare our attitudes. You can't walk around with a chip on your shoulder and teach people the gospel and bring them to Christ. There's no way. Acts 20:19 says, "Serve the Lord with all humility of mind." We've got to look at other people like they're just as good as we are, maybe even better than we are, because we've got to try to get that person to listen to us. And everybody don't want to hear what we have to say. And sometimes it's a challenge. But you'll never get anywhere acting like you know it all, or you know more than I know. So we've got to do it with humility. Prepare our attitude. Then we have to prepare our prospect, the people that we meet. When Paul was traveling to Ephesus, he ran into some brethren there, and he asked them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" And they said, "What's that? We haven't even heard of that." And Paul said, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto the baptism of John." So Paul was talking to these people about something they didn't know anything about. And we're going to run into that a lot in this world. So we need to talk to people a little and find out where they are in life. It doesn't do any good to start talking to people about instruments of music in the church and support of orphans' homes if they don't even believe in God. And I'm afraid the way things are going in this country, there are going to be more and more people who don't believe in God. So we need to prepare our prospects, check them out a little, find out what they know, and then try to begin to teach them the right way. We need to get involved. In Thessalonians 3:5, the scripture reads, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." And Romans 2:7, "To them who have patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." So we need to be patient as we work with other people. And as we live in this life, we're going to have to bear up under trials and temptations. And we're going to have to do that in the will of God. So we need to live a godly life. And how are some ways that we can do that? Well, these directives that God has given us. Follow David's example in prayer. Acknowledge God in all things. Live righteously. Get wisdom. Be busy about the Lord's work. And submit ourselves to God. If we take any one of these directions, they will lead us in the right way. If we take all these directions, they will lead us home. If there's anyone here this morning who has never been baptized into Christ, God is not directing your life. You're living your life on your own. And if you continue that way, it will come to a bad end. Maybe there's someone here who has drifted away from God and you need to return We would ask you to come forward at this time as we stand and sing for your encouragement.
You let me.